welcome to Season 2 of The Music Post. I'm Sam Post. Thanks so much for coming back and listening after quite a long break. Or if this is your first time listening, even better. This whole show and project is really motivated by a couple of core convictions. The first is that music is pretty much the greatest, so it's worth your time and attention to listen to and get to know, even if you're not a musician. The second is that the music most worthy of your time and attention gets better and better as you hear it more, consider it, learn about it, and digest it, so to speak. As some listeners may know, I used to be strictly a pianist, and as a pianist, I was a worshiper of old music, the classics of classical music, which I still do worship, but back then I thought they pretty much encompassed all of the best music that ever was and ever would be written. As I've come to write more and more of my own music, my perspective has changed quite a bit, hopefully not too self-servingly, but writing music has certainly opened my eyes, I think, just to the wealth of great music that's out there, old and new, that you can find and enjoy if you're willing to put in some work to find it. And luckily for you, I'm happy to do lots of that digging for you. We'll philosophize more in a later episode, but today we're starting with a piece that I wrote last summer, which you're hearing in the background right now. As you can perhaps hear, it's for clarinet and piano, and we're going to hear from the clarinetist who made it possible and played it with me fantastically, Lauren Cook. Before you meet Lauren, just a quick word about the piece so that you have context for what she's going to say. It's called Kinhaven Sonata because each of the five short movements relates to a memory or something from this music camp that I went to growing up over the summer in Vermont called Kinhaven. For instance, at Kinhaven, there's this tradition which, like many traditions at Kinhaven, sounds pretty weird if you didn't go there. But anyway, Saturday nights after the faculty concerts, everyone would gather in the concert hall for an hour or so of folk dancing. And there was this one bootleg tape that they've been using at Kinhaven for I don't even know how long. And no one even really knows where most of the tracks came from, but it's these dances from around the world that we all memorize and repeat each week. And although the general atmosphere is very festive and party-like, the first one on the tape every Saturday night is this pretty somber-sounding traditional Israeli dance that goes like this. Add some counter melodies, change a few harmonies, and you get something like this. Turns out the traditional words are not quite as somber as I would have thought, given the music. How pleasant on the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings, but what are you going to do? Sounds somber to me. Anyway, the other movements aren't as explicitly related to the camp, but you kind of get the idea. Over to Lauren. This is Lauren Cook. She is a very impressive musician. She plays in the Navy band. Straight after school, her wind quintet won gold medal in, wait for it, the Fischoff competition, senior wind division, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what that is, probably you don't. If you're not a musician, you've never heard of it. It's probably the most prestigious chamber music competition in the U.S., if not the world.
I think so.
Yeah? Well, you would think so.
I definitely think so. It's a pretty big
deal. But I can verify that, yeah. It's a really big deal. And so you're also president of the Washington Chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So she sings too. She's great. Soprano and accordion more recently.
A little bit, yeah.
I
played the accordion at Signature Theater for Cabaret and around town with various choruses.
That's cool. So yeah, that's awesome. We met at Northwestern. We were both in graduate school. And we played in two groups,
mm-hmm.
both of which did not turn out great at the
not
time.
Not so well. It was a little bit of a struggle to get through them for their own reasons. There were personality differences.
Yeah.
And differences in...
opinion.
Opinion.
So, yes, you may have a picture of musicians playing together and it's all roses and
what's a good metaphor here? Just all fun roses. And fun and games, but yeah. when people clash, it can get ugly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then you moved to DC, well,
for my job, and then Sam did also.
Yeah.
And then finally I just called you and said, let's play.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And so that was for a specific recital. It was for a recital in July at the National Cathedral. And I called Sam and said, what would you like to play? And he said, maybe some of my stuff. And so then I said, oh yeah, do you have it? And he said, well, it's just in my head. So at that point,
and this was in May.
Yeah. It was May 9th.
And the recital was July like 8th or something.
Yeah. Yep. And so I gave him, you know, full faith that he would write beautiful music, and he did. And so we got together a few weeks later only.
Yeah.
And read through quite a bit of the whole sonata.
Yeah, although I think actually there was quite a lot of like fragments and
different optional
parts. Yeah, I think you helped a lot with decisions of different parts to cut or modify or, you know, change here and there for sure. As I kind of went through it.
So this is a fun process. I'd never been a part of that before, so it's cool.
Any further thoughts on that part of the process?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll try not to take too much offense there, but we also played the Brahms first clarinet sonata, which is a very difficult piece, but even I think as we were, well, at least I was struggling with my own part, it was very clear, like even from our first rehearsal, I think, that we were gonna, you know, we could do it together
and communicate very easily.
Yeah.
Without explaining it in
without
words
explaining
before.
And without extensive, you know, rehearsal and kind of back and forth about.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we had a lot of fun playing, and we kind of batted around ideas to form a group that was bigger than just the two of us. And then we did that. And we had our first concert at the Kennedy Center Millennium Stage. Very exciting.
It went really well.
Yeah. And so you're going to hear us playing the piece that I wrote in July. We played that also at the Kennedy Center.
Our group, by the way, is called the Cassia Music Collective. And you'll be hearing much more about us in later episodes.
So, the piece.
Well, I really, what I like most about this piece, Sam's piece, is that it takes so many different genres and styles and makes little
nuggets. Were you about to
nuggets?
Say?
I was going to say novellas.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Movements.
Yeah.
And of each of the styles. But each of them have very specific emotions attached to them and are not so avant-garde and off the wall that the listener can't relate.
Yeah.
And
which is kind of my thing.
Right. Exactly. And that's the whole mission of Cassia and also Sam's existence. And
hopefully a little more than that for my existence, but that's a big part of it.
But you also throw in very unique harmonies that really add interest and surprise to the listener. And also, it's really fun to play, more than just, you know, well, this is this typical song that I'm going to just kind of turn my brain off and play. And so I really like that. And I like the story behind the title and how each of the movements relates to a different part of, you know, your experience at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good place to cut in briefly and give you a sense for the other movements. The first is all about the restless anticipation and excitement and anxiety of arriving at camp with so many new people to meet and, you know, being a teenager was so awkward, worrying about fitting in, trying to make friends all quickly and stuff like that. So the main theme goes like this. So you'll hear it in the clarinet. Later in the piano. You get the idea. Now skipping ahead to the last movement, which you heard a bit of already. It's a rag and it's a ton of fun, all about youthful freedom, but it's also tinged with nostalgia, which we campers were always full of, especially, you know, thinking back to that first day of camp when we had the whole summer to look forward to ahead of us, which gave me this idea for bringing back the first movement idea sort of as a memory in the last movement this way. Another somewhat strange tradition that Kinavan has relates to this mythical monster named Wally Wampus, who inhabits the lake. Yeah, don't worry about it. Anyway, there's this one day each summer, which is kind of like a Halloween and summer festival situation where everyone dresses up and we pay our homage to Wally Wampus, which has inspired this spooky and kind of scary third movement. And as an added note, the main theme in this movement I actually borrowed from a piano student of mine who learned it from his father. So Gideon and Conrad Chafee, thanks for that. Here's that theme, which they call Ghosts and Goblins. Finally, the fourth movement is a little waltz about young love and falling in love, which in my case was pretty awkward experience, and you know, I was very shy but at the same time very sincere, and you can hear that in the tenderness of this opening and then the sweetness of the melody in the clarinet.
Fun to play, and also kind of like Brahms's works, the piano part is quite more involved than the instrumental part.
What would you say is your favorite movement, if I may put you on the spot for that?
I think
or I least like... favorite if you prefer.
No, I think my favorite movement is probably the rag at the end. Mm-hmm. It's just really exciting, and I like the metric modulation that you did. And it's just really clever.
Thank you.
And I think you wrote really well for the clarinet.
Oh, thank you.
Except
in what
for
sense?
The one that had all the flats or all the sharps.
Okay, but originally that was meant to be on.
I'm going to skip our little argument here about A clarinet versus B flat clarinet and sharps and transpositions. You really don't need to hear it.
So what I was going to say, well, yeah, first of all, it's been great playing with you so far, and I think, you know, I'm looking forward to many future projects, and it's really critical for me to have, you know, up to last summer I'd written a ton of piano music, and really basically nothing else, and this was like a launching point for me into chamber music, so it was really critical and great to have not only someone who believed in me enough to be like, okay, yeah, I'll do this concert even though the piece like doesn't exist yet, but also great to have someone who could play it so well, like from the get-go.
Oh, thank you.
So that it's, I think it like represents my best work, not only as a composition, but then at the Kennedy Center, like one of my best performances.
I thought it was one of mine too. I felt like we were able to achieve a lot of different musical ideas that somehow
just went for it.
Mind melded.
Yeah.
Went for it. Yeah.
Awesome. And so one last tidbit when we played at the Kennedy Center, for timing reasons, mostly we cut, one of the movements, which you'll hear in another episode. It's a little extra outtake. And
it's also one of my, if I had to give a second favorite.
You would choose that one?
I would choose that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of knew that.
So enough talk. Here it is, Kinhaven Sonata for clarinet and piano with Lauren Cook and me. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Thanks so much for listening. There were so many people who helped make this season of the Music Post possible. Thank you to everyone. You'll get your shout-outs later, too. Find out more about the show at samueljpost.com. And I hope you'll subscribe and tune in next time.